Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the You Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. It is so good to be back here physically with you, Jordana. That's physically sounded weird. The minute I said it, I didn't like it. But I went through with it because I usually say virtually.
Right.
But we are now at the brand spanking new Betches offices. Congratulations. I'm like,
thank you. Congrats to everyone at Betches who has put spending, you know, we've been making this podcast room for like over a year and we haven't been it's IRL fall right now. And we haven't been IRL since March 2020.
It's wild. Remember we did one where we kind of like,
we did a weird one.
We did the secret one where we weren't sure if it was still cool. Like we were like, I don't know, are we going to get in trouble? And like, who's to get in trouble with? Like now it feels a little ridiculous. Oh my God.
I remember that day too. I wore gloves on the subway. And that was like when gloves were the thing. It was before there was no mask. Mm. It was before the masks. Everyone was like, oh yeah, you got to wear a mask. But everyone was wearing gloves to like the supermarket. I remember wearing it to the subway and then I took them off when I got there. And it was a weird day.
Very weird. And we like got one more in before we were like, we can't do this.
Yes.
We can't be, you know, going in disguise to the Betches offices to take.
Podcast. Yeah. It was like, because people were watching you. It's
eyes. They were all, you know, but listen, it is cool to be, it's a little weird. Like we discussed before, we're like, we had to get used to a dynamic that was Zoom. Now we have to get back used to in person.
Yeah.
But I think this is already great. I'm already enjoying 1,000 times more than on Zoom.
Same. I'm really excited about it. And it feels even more professional than our last podcast room. We've got like panels and video and I don't even know where to look because I'm not on Zoom. So I'm like, should I look at you? Do I look at the cameras? There's like many cameras. It's very high tech room we're in.
It's a great room. So, I mean, we want people, you know, there's been money invested. There's been capital put in. So there's going to be videos. There's going to be TikToks. There's going to be stories. There's going to be a full multimedia thing going on with this podcast. And our ask of you is follow and like and comment and play with it. You know, like that's Jordana, who knows better than you? The social media world involves, we need interaction. We want you guys to get involved with what we're doing, especially, you know, TikTok, like, these dating advice snippets, we could really take off on there. We could be like,
I know. We could be like very cool on TikTok. I think if we play our cards right.
This is not the way to get cool, is by talking about how cool we could be
on TikTok.
Yeah, but we'll get there. I think there's a shot, you know.
Yeah.
If we pray to Father Algorithm, you know, then we'll be okay.
We could be the oldest cool people on TikTok if we play our cards right.
I hope to Father Algorithm.
Yes. And I mean, I'm so excited. It is, so this episode we're pre-recording this, but it's airing on Thanksgiving Eve.
Mm.
Huge dating, big dating day.
Big romance day.
Big sex day.
Sex day, romance day, embarrassment day, big emotional day.
Yeah.
I would say people are at high school reunions 5, 10, 15, 20 years. People are around high school people that, you know, the one that got away that you got a chance to talk to tonight. Like I do the same tweet every year and it's like thoughts and prayers to the guy or girl. Thoughts and prayers to the person who decides tonight's the night they're going to speak up to their high school crush.
Right. And I feel like in COVID, I mean, it was probably like the whole thing probably felt like Thanksgiving Eve.
Totally.
Home. But now people are back and now it's like a regular one.
Yeah, this is definitely a regular one. People are also, you're coming back to people that you've, you know, just like you said, like you had last year where you saw them maybe more and then you kind of went away from each other. So it's not like 5 years ago. It's 6 months ago we had a thing.
Right.
And now what are we doing again? Maybe you thought it fizzled and they're calling back tonight, or you thought it was going, you know, or you think it's still going and the person's like, oh, I'm, you know, kind of hanging out with my another group of high school friends. I don't know. You know, all offers are on the table.
A lot to navigate. I'm sure we'll get a lot of emails about awkward things that happened on that Thanksgiving Eve.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, just so you guys know, I'm restarting the trees. So send me your trees. It starts after Thanksgiving. So this Friday.
Did you give yourself a nickname ever for this? The tree
betch.
The tree betch.
Yes.
Yeah, tree betch. You got to send in your. I'm a fan. I love it. Nothing better than a Jew rating. Yes. These people's trees, and it's send in the trees. I'm excited.
It's the most cynical time of the year.
That's what they say. That is what they say. Yeah, awesome. This is the time of year for like so much of what we do. So because it's dating, relationships, the intermingling of social media and internet with dating and relationships, the intermingling of your family with, yes, dating and relationships, and mixing families and meeting families. So if you have a friend or a coworker or a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa, anyone with ears will take them. Share this podcast, make it the group chat, share the link. If there's an email on here that speaks to you or someone you know, share. You gotta send that link, right?
Exactly. And our live show is in just a couple of weeks. If you haven't gotten your tickets, get them, because the good seats are probably gone, but you can still come to the show. You can still meet us. You can still hear. It's going to be a great event. I'm really excited. It's at getyourticketsbetches.co/uuplive21. And you guys can submit your own. You can submit to potentially be chosen to come on stage with Jared and I.
The chosen ones.
Exactly. And get your, I'm actually really glad we're recording in person, because we can get used to the physical, yes, presence of each other.
Absolutely.
While doing a live show. It's going to be great.
So we want your deal reveals, which are text screenshots. We want your dating app makeovers. That is screenshots of all your, you know, of your full profile. We want your fuckboy or Nas. And we want your red flag deal breakers. We want all of them. It's a user-generated show. It is a live, interactive experience. It is so much fun. Fun for the whole group chat. And, yeah, I can't say get the tickets again, because I know, you know,
you
like
guys know
I,
what
at this
to
point,
fucking do. Just
yeah,
do it.
You're gonna have a great time. I'm sick of promising people a good time, because I know it's gonna be a good time. I'm just like, it is a fun event. So December 8th, you send them into uup@betches.com, and then betches.co/uuplive21 is the the link, hyperlink.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. Other than that, I'm in Phoenix and St. Louis. So Phoenix and St. Louis, jaredfree.com. If you want to come to a stand-up show and you're not in the New York City area and you're hanging under the arches.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real, I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BollandBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, BollandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about, we're instead of doing an opening email, we're going to talk about some interesting New York Post articles and just a new Hinge feature. So
love it.
A little pop culture update, I guess.
A dating in the news segment.
Yes.
We can play like a little music of like, you know, like the news song.
Right.
You know,
it's a concert and a show.
That's right. Yeah. This is what you waited for, to be live
exactly
in the room,
the real life experience.
Yeah.
So we're gonna, the first article we're talking about is called, the title is, and you can always count on the New York Post for this kind of title.
Yeah.
Men with golden penis syndrome are ruining sex and dating for women.
Yeah, it is. It's a very New York Post title, but golden penis syndrome wasn't created by the New York Post. That's the interesting part.
What is the background? Like, what is the general term golden penis syndrome mean?
So you want me to read this?
Sure.
Only 40.5% of college students are men. And 1981 was the last year that more men graduated from college than women. College-educated women typically want to date college-educated men. And since the ratio is skewed, dating demand for college-educated men is higher with a smaller supply. When men, and this is a quote, when men are in undersupply, the dating culture becomes less monogamous. Men are more likely to treat women as sex objects and treat relationships as disposable. This phenomenon has been dubbed the golden penis syndrome by students at Sarah Lawrence, where 75% of enrollees are women. Yeah, Sarah Lawrence came, you know, that's a very female school.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be all female, which I think is why it's still predominantly like huge majority female.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's very interesting. I wonder also, like, in a situation where it's flipped, let's say colleges in like the 1950s, was it like men were trying to settle down with anyone? Were they like more willing to commit because there were so few women that women kind of could be more selective?
I would think so. I mean, like, think about like how our grandparents got together. It wasn't like they were on this like nationwide search. They weren't swiping, you know, in Colorado while living in Michigan, they, you know, which you can do right now. Also, people weren't moving away. So it was like, you know, it was, there wasn't even the hope of like, hey, maybe in my next city, I'll meet the next love of my life. You know, because we have a lot of people that send in there going, you know, they're leaving in 2 months. You know, so I don't even want to think about a relationship, or I don't even want to go down this road.
Right.
And that's because they're competing with the ghost. They're competing with like this imaginary perfect person that they're going to find in their new city, which we all know pretty much doesn't exist, or may, you know, will exist for them because they'll make it fit their narrative. But
I think it's interesting. I mean, not only just for college, is that like, I think that people say this kind of thing about like dating in New York. Like there's, you know, there's more, there's not enough men, or there's not enough good men. And so like the men could just treat women like they're disposable. And like, I don't know if that's actually true or not, or if it's just like the general biology of like the fact that men have more time makes that more true.
I think it's true. I mean, I think disposable makes it sound icky, but I do think like, you know, to me, like when I read this, the golden penis syndrome, I was like, this is happening already. Like college graduate or not, this is a major city problem, it sounds like, because again, people who move to major cities are, you know, I would assume, and maybe I'm making, this is a bad assumption, but college educated, they're working in, you know, quote unquote, white collar jobs that you require a college education. So I would assume this trickles up, you know, and it has been happening, you know, it's been going that way. So,
and also, I do think there's another element of like women will, men I think will date down educationally, and I don't think women are as willing to do that.
Yeah,
or financially.
I think you're right. You know, like, Yeah, I mean, like that.
I mean,
that,
I don't know if the term "date down" is like politically correct, but
well, it works right. As far, you know, we gotta go. We gotta choose a direction, right? You know? So,
it's
so
not up.
Yeah. So yeah. So but I, you know, but also that's like societal stuff, like, and also like normal things, like women want protection, they want, like, you know, feel comfort, safety, all those right. things. Those work into someone who has a career path. Someone who, you know, they can trust to be, you know, and guys are not even, you know, protection doesn't even like rate on my mind. You know, I want to be comfortable with someone, but like on my mind, like who's going to make sure I right. can make it in this.
Who's going to make me feel world? Safe, you know, yeah. for safety, really.
Totally. So I.
Well, what do you think is the solution for this? It's kind of like.
The solution wasn't naming it golden penis syndrome.
Right, to make them like, bring the guys down a yeah, notch. With, I mean, you know.
Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem like a bad, like Sarah
not
Lawrence,
helpful.
You know, like you kind of fucked up here, not to like, you know, I mean, like call it like, you know, fucking gross dick syndrome.
It's
like,
kind of
you know,
like
they're
inflated
getting around.
Average man syndrome.
What
like,
is that?
It's like an inflated, the average man is now like has ego inflated. That doesn't sound quite as good.
Yeah.
It's not as, quippy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, mediocre man syndrome.
Yes.
You know, like
mediocre that, man syndrome would be like less putting the man on a pedestal.
Yeah. Like if one guy reads golden penis syndrome and he goes, you know what? There are more. Wait a minute. There's more women than men.
Right.
You know, like
in case
he's like,
they didn't know.
Yeah. We're getting a divorce, honey.
Right.
Like, it's like, I mean, also, this plays into, there's another thing that I thought of when I was looking at this was men's nature to, like, what's the biggest fear? Like, what's a...
For who?
What's a man's relationship fear? Like, what's a woman's relationship fear?
Like, just general, like, when dating?
When dating. What's a, like...
That she's going to be dropped for someone else.
And alone forever.
Right, yes.
The cat woman, you
yes.
know, which is the...
The pigeon woman, the pigeon, as we discussed last
yes.
time, yes.
The pigeon
In
woman,
Central Park.
Yes. So if that's a, not everyone's greatest fear, but if that's a fear, which then the male fear, I think, for a lot of men is to be divorced and poor at a late age, like sad divorced dude.
At to a go, late age.
Yes, okay. To go backwards. I think for a lot of men, and I think I have this fear, is like you, I meet divorced men in the, of a certain age. Like if you go to like Blue Martini in Naples, Florida, okay. It is just full of like divorced dad looking, like they have like the collared shirt with the cuffs that have the paisley under the cuff. And they're in like sneakers that don't really match the level of shirt they're wearing. And you're like.
So men don't want to be divorced. That's like their big fear.
Men want to be divorced and rich, I think. Okay. Like
they don't want to be divorced and poor.
I think like not able to live a lifestyle like where you can feel like you've accomplished. And okay. But you see this a lot with like someone whose life has just been torn apart.
Their biggest fear is being like Ryan Philippe. Is that how you say
I'd
it?
Take Ryan Philippe.
Is that how you say it?
Ryan Felipe?
Felipe? Reese Witherspoon's ex-husband.
Is he ruined? Is he?
He just seems like kind of a loser. Like okay. He's married to, you know, he was married to Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
They have these like two amazing kids. He was like at the top of his career when he met her. And now she's like super successful,
sure.
Way more famous than him, remarried. And he's just kind of like this like, losery guy who like doesn't really get much work, and like he I think he had some like sexual assault charges against him, like just like not compared to Reese Witherspoon,
sure,
who I don't need to really like tout her mm-hmm. accomplishments. He's just not, he's not doing well on the other end of the divorce.
Well, on this subject, you said like women want to marry up, they mm-hmm. want to be safety, comfort. We just talked about that, like, you know, Ryan Felipe has lost that to a lot of people.
Right.
That credential that like there's safety, there's growth here, there's somewhere for this relationship to go. We can maybe have, he can have a kid with a second family. You know what
right.
I mean? So I think a lot of men kind of fear that reality. So if you're fearing that you could be ruined by a relationship, you push away. And if you're fearing that you're going to be alone, you grab on.
Okay.
So it's like women grabbing on to men that aren't exactly that great for them, and men pushing away from women that maybe there's something better down the road.
But is it like, is it that men want to be single forever?
No, I don't think that is as what you, what we, I would think people would assume that, but that's not what it is.
Right. I don't think, there's most men are like, oh, I want to be like 50, never married, no kids.
I mean, every guy says, yeah, I'm looking for a relationship. You know, I'm, right. What do they say on their thing? I'm looking for something real, but then they go, but I'm just not ready for a relationship right now, you know?
So then to women, I guess, if you're looking at that kind of scenario, it's kind of like, well, what's it going to take for you to commit? For you to like be like, okay, this is the person I'm gonna be with. This is who I'm gonna settle down with, who I'm gonna have children with.
I actually think the answer's in our next story.
Okay.
Because I think it connects. Because this is, I was thinking about that. We want to. Do you mind if we go to the next story? I think it connects.
All this connect. Stuff I'm sure is not. They don't exist in a vacuum.
No.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you to achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Yeah, so the next article, also via the Post, is that the headline is Couples Who Met on Dating Apps Headed for Early Divorce, Study Finds.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to read the...
So the study is Relative Strangers, The Importance of Social Capital for Marriage, concluded that 12% of couples who found their significant other online got divorced within the first 3 years of marriage, compared to only 2% of lovers who met through friends.
lovers. 2% of lovers who met through friends.
And the study claims that couples who meet online get married as relative strangers because it's harder to gather reliable input on the person without mutual friends / shared social circles. And there's the added risk disappears after the first 3 years of marriage. You can develop the social capital needed to support the relationship over time. And that's basically like it's saying you're more likely to get divorced if you met on an app. But if you're married over 3 years, then like it doesn't, then you're past that hump.
What they're basically saying is a lot of what we've said in the past, like the friends add consequence,
right?
And they're basically saying that the first 3 years of consequence are way more than after that, because after the 3 years you create a friend group together, you know, like. You get in a relationship, it's like we're combining the friend group in the first three, you know, let's say
your social circles become more integrated.
Totally. Right. So in the first 3 years, you can cut out someone you met on a dating app because you go, yeah, I'll just go back to my friends. I'll go back to Jared Island.
Right.
You know, I don't have like the other, you know, I don't have to like literally be the alone divorce guy, you know, okay. That I'm talking about. So, and I also think, and the answer when you ask, and this is in addition to what they're saying, because I was thinking about this, like, and I see this in my own life right now, is excitement. You know, mm-hmm. The date, and what do I mean by excitement is like the dating app process kind of takes away like all of that intrigue and,
yes.
And you know, step one through 10 are laid out for you on a dating app.
Right.
First date, second date, third date. Fuck, right? We talked about it. That's dating app stuff.
That's why people don't like dating apps. That's why they prefer to meet people in person or through friends or something like that. Because I think it, again, like it takes away any sort of like mystery of the reason behind why you're there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting for people in college, right? Who are in college right now, who didn't really date before dating apps mm-hmm. ever. So there's nothing to compare it to. There's nothing different. So, and what I've heard from people in college and stuff like that is like they're using dating apps with people that they know in person. So instead of having to say to a guy, that they saw in their bio class, like approach them at a bar, they can see them on a dating app and swipe there, which I do feel like takes something away from it. But if maybe that for the new generation, that's all they'll know. And it won't be as like, it won't feel as weird to be dating someone from an app.
Well, we're different. I mean, this kind of angers me a little bit. You know, like I've used dating apps since their infancy. I've been on the dating websites before there were even swiping apps. So it is interesting that this is the world people that lack social skills wanted.
Right.
You know, these apps were created by the coder in your high school graduating class. The guy or the woman, they were created. I mean, to go back.
The Zuckerberg types.
The Zuckerberg types, okay? Zuckerberg didn't want to go up to a woman. He wanted a green light over her head that gave him a thought in her brain that made it safer to go up to a woman.
Right.
So with that in mind, that also takes away the thrill of the chase. And I don't believe in like making a guy chase. We've talked like making a guy chase you isn't really the move. I do think, how do we add excitement into the dating app game? Because we're here now, you know, like when you hear this stuff where it's like first 3 years, you're more likely to get a divorce. It's like, okay, I don't want that to happen. You know, I don't think anyone listening wants that to happen. Right. So like, where do you add in excitement and where do you add in like
how do you have the dating app experience mimic the real world experience, I guess, more? Or I guess Hinge used to do that from what I remember from like, you know, they would tell you, I don't know if they still do this. They would tell you how many mutual friends you had. And it sort of like tried to give you that sense of safety via like, all right, you know, like 20 people in common.
And it would make it harder to break up or even go on the date because you're like, you would check in with a friend that maybe knew them, maybe they know each other too much. And you go, and they've been vetted. And then you go, oh, fuck, like I'm going to disappoint both of these people.
I mean, there's nothing more exciting, I would imagine, than like, you know, you see someone on a dating app and you text someone you know about them. And that person's like, oh, yeah, they're amazing. They're super hot. They're great.
Totally.
Whatever. Like, I feel like that is the closest you can get to that feeling of like, oh, I met them and they seem really normal.
Yeah. I think that like we forget the importance of excitement, you know, like because what you said is totally true. Hey, oh, my God, you do have to meet that person. You're going to love them. Right. When you hear those things, like I just got a message from someone who is legit apologizing me. They're very nice, but they messaged me and we've talked about this on You Up with Benefits. I mean, their message to me was, Jared, I have a great girl for you. And I go, and I don't know this person.
Yeah.
And I go, I really appreciate it, but I'm not going to go out with someone based on just their phone number. She goes, this is her phone number. And then she writes,
no more information. Has she not listened to the show?
Well, that's what I said. I go listen to, we've done an episode on this. I'm not going to be in a polite position to say no is really, and I'm trying to be nice and I don't want to be mean to this person. I'm not calling them out. I hope they know that.
They're the person that's impolite though, because to like,
they apologize. Right. Okay. They went back and listened and literally just messaged me. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like they're the nicest person alive. I'm not trying to hate on them, but I am trying to say the excitement of a setup, the excitement of a dating app match, the excitement of meeting someone in a bar, like they all come in different ways. We have to service those ways.
Right.
Because like if this person was like, I heard you say, like there is a setup, there is a way where it's like, I heard you say these 7 things and I was out with my friend and they don't know you at all. And they just said like such similar things. I really think you two would be a match. Here's 7 pictures. I think it would be like, you don't understand.
7 is the number.
7,
right.
you know, 7 off the top of my head. And but I, then you go, oh, you thought of me. You know, I'm the star of this movie. And that sounds douchey, I agree. But I'm saying everyone wants to be the star of the movie at one point when in your own love life.
That's what the difference is between the dating apps, which feels like you're not a star at all. You're just one of a million people who are on them. And any other dating experience where it's like, okay, even if I met you at a bar, there were people all around us, but you chose to speak to me or you thought of me to set me up with this person. It definitely feels much more like special.
And from my perspective, the specialness is of the swipe. We think of things in black and white terms when they really aren't. Mm-hmm. So like when you get a swipe right, the, you know, my animal brain goes, oh, she'd fuck me. Right. You know, like, and that's not right or wrong. That's just, you know, maybe it's right for some, maybe it's wrong for others, but it's probably more wrong than it is right for most of these women. Okay. I'm swiping to them. They're going, he's cute. You right. know, like, you know, like they go, right. And but maybe I take
I
it
can
as
see us dating. Right.
Well, yeah. But that makes the person, I think, more disposable to men.
Okay.
Because they go, well, I could.
Right. Because they know you would. Right. You would be injured. There's no world where like you're still not sure because they're already just by being on the app, mm-hmm. you know that the person is down.
You go up to a woman in a bar. Hey, what's your name? You see no wedding ring. You see no right. whatever. You go, and where are you from? What do you do? Well, here's my number. You still don't know.
Yeah.
They could have had a boyfriend. They could have had, you know, someone else that they're hooking up with. Like, it the dating apps, it's so much more binary, you know?
I know. And I mean, that's why people love to meet people off of the apps. But I mean, that's not to say that you can't, because it's not the most exciting way to do something doesn't mean it doesn't work.
That's the problem is yeah. then you speak to someone, we met on Hinge and they have a whole story about why their thing is the way to do it. And there's no other way to do it. And I was home for Thanksgiving and I swiped them on Hinge and never met them in high school. And oh my God, we were the perfect match. You should go to a grocery store. And you're like, what the fuck just happened?
Right. But people do meet on apps more than they don't meet on apps.
Totally. To an extent. So yeah. What is, like, I like when we come up with like out of the box solutions, because you hear this 3-year stat. We yep. have to, I believe in numbers. Right. I believe in science. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm Jared Freed 2024. There has to be a way to, you know, when we say own your standard, that's creating excitement, I think.
Yeah.
Meet my friends. You won't meet my friends?
Meet my friends is a good way to counteract the 3-year issue too, because the more you're integrating someone into your life, mm-hmm. the less they're just like this random stranger on an app who's from a different place. I mean, that's sort of the beauty, the upside and the downside of meeting someone on the app. Never before in your life would you might maybe meet someone who's from a different walk of life than you, hangs out at different bars, that is in a different area. That's like an upside. Great. Totally. There's more options mm-hmm. for that. The downside is that the person is a lot more foreign to the world that you're in. Like, I met Mike through a setup, right? So like, even though I didn't know him before, I know people that he knew, mm-hmm. or I'm from a town next to his. So there's like all these different little things that give you a sense of like, okay, like I know that this will fit in that way. And I think that's what the apps are missing. But maybe if you make it a point to integrate that person into your life and see how, kind of like throw them in there and see how they
listen,
that might be helpful.
I am a proponent of the friend luck dinner.
To bring a friend, right?
Bring a friend. We've talked about this, right?
Yeah.
So on this podcast, have we talked about the friend luck?
Sort of like the Sex and the City idea with the, like, bring a man you're not interested into the party.
I don't even gender it. I'm more progressive than Carrie Bradshaw. I would say, no, you bring everyone. And if you're going to say to me, I have no friends, then good luck. I can't help you.
No friends, no dates.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like an exciting person.
Enjoy the wilderness alone. So when I'm friend luck, you have 6 friends at brunch. Everyone brings one friend, male, female. It doesn't matter. Sexual orientation doesn't matter. These are 6 other people that could hypothetically introduce you to other people.
Right.
And it extends your friend group and loose connections that we talked about with Meg J. She was fantastic. Yes. That's an old episode that you guys can go back and look. We talk about loose connections. Weak ties.
That was it.
Weak ties are great ways to meet strong relationships. I think that's the title of her next book. So now you bring those 6 people. Those 6 people bring 6 people. Now you got a party. One person's apartment. And at one point in the party, everyone has to introduce their friend in a funny, fun way.
Right. I mean, that was the beauty of the pregame, right?
Yeah.
You know, I do remember, it's funny, I remember something along those lines, and this ties into both articles. There was someone who, there was a Yale mom, I think it was Yale, it might have been her, it was a really good school mom, and she basically penned like an editorial to all of the women at this college that was like, you better find someone while you're in college here and like make them marry you, essentially. Like the place to meet someone is right here. And I think it got like obviously like people like dragged it as like extremely anti-feminist and whatever. But the
also like elitist. You're an elitist, you better find someone here at fucking Yale because those monster idiots are out there waiting for you. Yeah.
I mean, it's very classist. It's very sexist. A lot of it. But I do think the interesting point of it being, I guess, that like because there is, again, more of a willingness of men to date down, the idea that like, okay, this is the only time where you're like all they're surrounded with, right?
You have a participatory audience. You have
you're in the bubble.
Yeah, they're in the zone.
And like, you're the only option, right? Yeah. The Yale girls are the only option right now. Once you leave, you're going to have a lot more competition. And the fact that you're
smart.
There's
going to be Rollins girls. There's going to be Florida State girls. There's going to be Arizona girls. Yeah. There's going to be Penn State girls. The real, you know, and they're coming in their crop tops.
Basically,
and they're
going to
be
charging
the fortress.
And the men are not going to care as much that you went to Yale.
Yeah, they're going to go, she likes video games.
So that was... Exactly. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with the statement, but I do think that there is an element of what she's talking about shown in these articles of like,
honesty pisses people off. There's an honest, she's coming from an honest place. Like, you know, this is why behavioral psychologists get like a lot of shit. Cause they go, well, this
no
is how people act, you know, like but it's interesting. I mean, but I think like, who are your engaged audience? I mean, if we're going to like extend this out to someone not Yale, there's a woman listening who's in her 30s and is like, how do I get these engaged participants that aren't with a golden penis, that don't think they have a golden penis and won't be ditching me within 3 years? You know, it's like, I think it means like getting a little, I think people need to be more creative than they're being. Like the apps are what they are. We know. Mm-hmm. First date, second date, third date, fourth date, fifth date, sixth date, you know, friends. But it's like maybe like doing a little zig while everyone else is zagging.
Right. I think if you can come up with a creative thing to go off of the apps, it's a great idea. The thing about the apps is that they're very consistent. Mm-hmm. So like you could do the fun brunch, right? Let's say that doesn't work. You're not going to be like, all right, I'm doing another one every 2 weeks. Like that gets a little.
Sure.
Gets a
you
little
can only try things so many times.
Exactly. So I think that you can still use the apps as long as you're using them again in like the right way. And I think that something like this podcast really helps people because they're like, okay, I'm going to be like a more educated consumer of people on the apps. I know what to look out for. I know what kind of messages are really just inferring that the person just wants sex. I know to like look out for someone who actually feels like they're trying. So I think you at least save some of your time. You're never going to find a situation where something is both extremely easy, free, and also like the most effective thing you've ever seen. That's the reason, like, you know, what's the three things? It's like cheap, easy, and
healthy.
And something like that. Yeah. Like there's nothing that has everything. So what the apps do have is the numbers, is the options, but you have to figure out how to sift through the thousands of options and like be an educated person to figure out like who you should invest time in and who you can immediately sort of disregard yourself. Like you have to play the game if you're going to be in it.
I mean, I'm not happy to be single, but I'm happy to like, I'll take ownership of now knowing the process.
Right.
Like, and the feelings that people are having. I thought I knew them before. I think I did know them before, but from a different age and perspective. Now on these apps, I do see the, what am I going to do with this fucking match? Like I have had that. I have gotten matches and been like, what am I going to do with this person?
That means you're better at it. I think if you can look at that and say, okay, I'm become this like bitter person who's like knows what's like, they've been around the block and they know what's going on. And I'm like all like pessimistic about it. Or I think you can reframe that as like, I've been around the block and I know what's going on. And like now this process is easier for me because I know how to sift through them. I'm a better consumer.
I agree. And like for the listeners out there that hear this and go, yeah, easy to say, I would say the apps are built to make you more negative. Like it is interesting because the more you get, the more you see what you don't want.
Right.
And you don't see a lot of what you do want.
You have to like sift through a lot of garbage. A
lot
to
of
find
garbage.
Something.
And, right. and listen, garbage to me, beautiful to you. It doesn't, you know, one man's treasure right. is another man's trash, whatever. But I would say, I would say like, you know, you start by being like, you know, I'd go to Long Island for a date. Yeah, we talked about yeah. this. Sorry, I'm repeating shit now because
no,
we're
true.
In person.
No,
I don't remember.
Yeah, no.
But then you end with like to even further this mm-hmm. joke. I've had instances where I'm matching with people, and the idea like women think like guys don't look you up. We have the same ability to Google as you.
Right.
Name, college. Job, LinkedIn, NYC. Game over, found him in 2 seconds. We could all do that.
I would think it was weirder if someone didn't look me up.
Totally agree.
Like, you live in New York City. There's a million people. You're just going to go on a date on a chance that a person's normal. Like, why would...
No.
Right?
No. Netflix has too many movies. So there was this one person, messaging, cute, fun, like, it seems like it's going well. And then we get down the subject of what I do.
Okay.
And because I'm referencing, yeah, I'm out at a comedy club. And I go, do you ever go to any shows?
So, okay.
And I used to be like, not mention this at all. And now I'm more upfront with it because I'm just like, this is too much a part of my life to like ignore. I have to see right. what the vibe is on this right away. And they mention another person. They go, I haven't been in years, but I love... Oh, I'm obsessed with this one person.
Okay.
And I go, another comic that I know.
Okay.
And I go,
does that annoy you or does that make you like...
No, I'm like, okay, we have this... I like this person. I think they're okay. awesome too. And then they go... And I'm going to their show. And then I go, we've actually done one another's podcasts.
Okay.
And then they wrote back, I think I've listened to yours. Okay. And I go, I mean... I'm obsessed. And then I go, oh yeah, I think we've done each other. Yeah, I've seen yours. And I go, and listen, this is shitty on me. I'm not gonna.
But don't you not want them to be like a super fan?
I don't. Okay. I'm not looking to be, this sounds, I can understand if someone's like, Jared, fucking up your own ass. I understand that. The point was, I'm more being, this is more critical of myself, where I literally got into a negative mode.
Okay.
Where I'm like, I've looked this person up. I can see they already follow me. Like the person I'm talking with. I go, so you know.
You're a liar.
I got a liar on her hands. You like it a little more than you think.
Right.
You know, than you're putting on here. But it's like you're in a position to be negative. Like I'm like, oh,
because
you already follow me.
There's so many options.
There's so many options.
If she was one of four girls in the entire city of New York, totally. You might... You know what I mean? You might be like, okay, I can live with the fact that she follows and she pretends that she doesn't know who I am.
We'll get to the point where we have this discussion and I just saw that and I got a bad taste, which is okay. That's my own insecurities. And also like, I mean, if it were me, I think of what I would have done. I would have been like, oh my God, I have to say, like, I enjoy your stuff. You know, I have to know. Like,
I already follow you, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also, like, not like a thing that'd be tough for you to prove.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And then they wrote back after I, like, saw it. I was like, I'll come back to this. I was like, let me calm down. I'm wrong. Like, okay. I went and hit the punching bag. You know, I go, I'll chill out. Like, Jared, you're being a fucking piece of shit. And she goes like, oh, did that turn you off? And I was like, and I had to write like, no.
But it did.
It kind of did.
So why didn't you just say that it did?
I'd rather say nothing at all. You know,
you're not trying to make it work. Right.
Yeah. But then I was like, we had this good conversation. So I go, no, hope you enjoyed. Like, I'm like trying to give them the out, which is even dumber of me. I don't know.
But if the same thing happened with a person that you'd already met, at a bar or a club, a comedy club or something like that, would you think you would still go on the date?
It did happen recently.
Okay.
I went on date. We've been texting. And then, you know, I do the Bachelor preview. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm finishing that. And they were like, let's hang out. And I was like, I'm finishing this up. And I sent one of the previews to them.
Right.
With the picture. And like, you know, like I do jokes afterwards. Mm-hmm. And when I send it to someone, I'm like kind of trusting them. Like I'm in the midst of writing it. And I,
you're showing them the unfinished art.
Yes. My, yes. And I sent it and they went, oh, just come over. I'll help you. I'm funnier than you.
Oh, I don't like that.
Me neither.
Okay.
I wrote back ... We didn't hang out. I got a text back being like apologizing and I wrote back. I sat on the sword. I was like, is that even the line? Sat on the sword?
I think so.
I put a sword up my ass. Okay.
that's the more PC way to say it.
Sorry. Okay. But I laid on the sword. Fall on the sword.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because I go, again, I think at 36, and I'm sure everyone listening who's of the similar age, you know where you stink. Okay. You know where, I know where I'm insecure. I know what I can't deal with, what I'm not looking to deal with. I know kind of where, and I wrote, hey, I'm really sorry. I got ahead of myself, and there was no way that you could have ever known that that would
annoy me.
Sure. But I also take what I do like serious in this way. And I'm just going to, I think we've gotten ahead of ourselves and that's it.
And how did that go?
That was the end.
Okay.
But I'm saying, so it has happened in real life. So I'm like,
right. So I guess either way, then it would annoy you. It doesn't even matter that you met the person on the app.
True. It's
well, that's good though. Those are two people then that probably wouldn't have been anything. And so you cut your losses early. I think like rejecting things is great.
I'm with you. I just, I think we hear this a lot from listeners too, where it's like, you don't want to be that negative person. You're like, who the fuck am I? I mean, again, this comes back to who the fuck am I all the time. Like it's
kind of like if there's one thing, if the person doesn't give you the perfect response, but if it's a response that really annoys you, then like, that's, let's follow your heart, follow your gut rather. Like, I think that's totally fine to be like, okay, like I'm already not getting the greatest vibes. And so, like, what's the point?
I know what I'm not going to force or this or try to prove that I can get through this. I think that's a thing. I think that's a thing with dating apps after you've been on them for a while. Is like, I'm not proving myself through this. I've done that before.
Right.
I've said I can go to Long Island for a date.
You've put in your time.
Yeah,
I think. And you've put in your energy.
I think a lot of people feel the same way. Let's do the last story.
Yeah, the last story is really just to discuss the Hinge voice recording feature. And what do you think of it?
I think it's pretty good. I it's funny that it's become a punching bag for a lot of people. Like TikTok has gone off on this. People are playing the recordings and sitting in front of them and doing
very vulnerable.
It is very vulnerable.
Like, do you have one? Did you?
I haven't done it because I'm afraid of this. I've been watching just guys get ruined.
It's a lot and it's kind of like you can do that with any. You can do that with the dating. It's what we do at our shows. We break down, the pictures people choose to put on.
Yeah, you can really break down anything. Like, someone could. I mean, I don't even want to put this idea out there, but like someone could look at mine and be like, and here's Jared thinking he fucking knows shit.
Right, dating it, they're vulnerable. It's kind of like, I'm putting myself out there. I'm putting the picture out there. It really is a vulnerable thing.
I like the Hinge voice note because you can hear the inflection in people's voices. You can hear, where they're, it's why I like a podcast.
Right.
Like, I like that when we say things that are on the line, I think, or that maybe like we're talking about the woman, the Yale thing, you can hear us kind of go, this is something someone said. You get the feeling of them a little bit more. There was one where it was a dude had like this gorgeous voice. Like mine would be like, hey, sound like I'm like chomping on a bagel or some shit to people.
What are you supposed to say?
You're supposed to answer the prompt, I think.
Oh, in a
voice.
Your voice. Okay.
Because I've seen a few in there and all the, I don't know. I guess like there's going to be a lot of like voice fishing. Okay. Hey, I'm Jared. I would change my voice. I don't know.
Well, it's hard to be like completely natural when it's kind of like if you're recording like your voicemail.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't come off as like the most natural way you're speaking. You're like speaking to say something.
Hi, you've reached Jared Free. Right. And I'm here to try and date you.
Yeah.
You can press 1 if you like to make out in bar rooms.
I think we just made your Hinge voice.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I sound like the movie phone guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think I, on the one hand, I like the idea of it giving you more of a, like, this is what this person sounds like. And on the other hand, I do feel like it's like just another reason to reject someone.
Yeah.
Where you might not care if you saw them in person and you had their, you maybe you didn't, you don't find their voice to be the most attractive, but you met them in person and you like their vibe and like, you don't you care as much, right? You might not have even cared or noticed. So I do think almost like putting your Instagram in, it's just another like reason to reject someone. But I think it's kind of like if you have a good voice, put it on. It's like almost like adding an extra thing that like you feel super confident in it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone should like hate their voice. Like I've had people like, have you ever had someone write to you like, I just looked you up and you look exactly like your voice?
No, I've never had that.
I've gotten that. So many times, and I'm like, I don't even know. This is so not positive or negative that I don't know. I can only take it negatively.
Right. What is, I don't even know what that means.
I to me, I'm always like, they think I look Jewish.
Okay. You
know, like, that's my first assumption, which I don't even know what that means. You know, right.
I had someone once at one of our live shows, I think it was in Arizona and Phoenix, that was like, You look more attractive than your voice would infer. And I'm like, well, he didn't use the word infer. I said that.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like this guy knows the word infer. Yeah.
He said it to him, which I thought was like weird. It was like a backhanded compliment, sort of, but also not really, because it's like something's worse than the other.
Yeah, it's shitty.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's an interesting feature. I don't know if I would use it if I were on the apps. I feel like I would.
I'm not using it. I think to me, should you, shouldn't you, I agree with you. The more like, it's just something to turn down. This is like kind of on the subject of like texting or anything. Text when you have something to say,
right?
Speak when you have something to say. Like if the voice note is good, like if you're
feel
forcing
like
it,
add to the resume.
Yeah.
Do it. Right.
If you're forcing, if you're like, what should I say? I hate saying stuff. I hate put my voice, then don't do it. You know, right. Like put yourself in the best position to shine, you know, like,
well, is that true of anything? Is that like with height or with, you know, job? It's like, just put it if
put
you
it.
Think it's good or don't, if you're not, if you're, don't put it if you don't.
Well, take the good and the bad. There's going to be people who judge you for not putting it.
Right.
You know, like,
there's. And that, I mean, it's fine if that says, it does say something. Everything that you do on these things says something. Everything is a choice.
Everything is a choice, and you will be reviewed for your choice, and people will either love you or hate you. I mean, that's what we do on a daily basis, you know, here. Like, we put stuff out, and, you know, we do this podcast, and we put it out every Wednesday, and people go, no, fuck those people. And they turn it off. Or they go, these guys are pretty good, you know?
Right. And that's their choice.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP. Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code podcast 15.
Let's do some awkward sex.
Let's
you ready?
Do it. Okay.
Our first live awkward sex in the new studio. Ooh. It's a brave new world. Me. Okay. Hi, Jared and Jordana. Love the podcast. And Jared's stand-up, I caught you in June in Tacoma. So friggin' funny. Well, thank you. Thought I'd share this fun experience. Still makes me cringe every time I think about it, but it will make me feel better if it gives everyone a good laugh. Back in my early 20s, I was living with my parents for a year after college. I had been secretly hooking up with my manager for several months and was completely crazy about him. While my parents were out of town, he came over to hang out one night. We started out playing pool on my parents' billiard table in the basement, which quickly led to strip pool. And then we ended up going back upstairs to hook up. I can't remember whose idea it was, but we eventually ended up in the shower having sex. It was incredibly hot. One of the few shower sex experiences that I've had where the mechanics worked well and it felt amazing. This is a win for shorter men, I think.
What, the shower sex?
I think shower sex works for if you're shorter than the woman.
I think there's a certain height disparity you need to make it work. But usually it's pretty awkward, I think.
It's money fixes everything, as we all know. If you have a amazing bench with multiple nozzles and you're in fucking Waterworld, it's great.
Yeah, I agree.
Every comic of a certain age has a joke about shower sex and how like they're under the water having a great time and they're shivering in the corner. Like you hear that joke a lot. Yeah. But a lot of this is engineering. So mechanics worked well and it felt amazing. That is until I looked down and realized that I had caught the shower curtain with my foot and it was stuck on the outside of the tub, letting water pour directly onto the bathroom floor instead of down the drain. The entire floor of the bathroom was flooded with water, and water was actively flowing into a vent under the sink. Butt naked, I sprinted down the stairs to the basement where I could immediately hear the sound of water raining down. I switched on the light and there was water pouring out of the ceiling onto the pool table, which was completely drenched. Pool table's not a good thing to get wet. That's one of those like house items that like...
Do you have a pool table? Your parents have a pool table?
My parents had a pool table, yes, in the newer house. Growing up, no. And then they moved when I went to college and they had a pool table.
They got one later in life.
Later in life.
You guys couldn't water damage it.
Yes. But even later in life, we walked around it like it was the Da Vinci.
Interesting.
Yelled at every turn.
It seems like a pretty low maintenance thing, you know?
Scratching the table, leaving out pool cues, hitting them too hard. You know, there was
very protective. Got it.
Okay. Well, listen, my mom,
the Lamborghini of the
everything,
the
okay. everything. Take off your shoes. Take off. What are you doing? You're touching everything. It's constant in my house, and the pool table wasn't exactly like the best play for us. But okay, I think I blacked out a bit. Out of panic, but together we eventually toweled everything down as much as possible. And he tried to calm me down before leaving. I was totally freaked that my parents would notice the water damage to the ceiling or their very nice pool table. Somehow they never mentioned anything about it. I just tried my best to stop worrying about it. Cut forward a few years, and I'm back home visiting them. We're all playing pool in the basement, and my parents joke about how the pool balls kind of wobble weirdly. We call it the drunk uncle because it never shoots straight. I realized that their balls have distortions from the water damage. I just laughed it off and went along with their drunk uncle joke. God, I'm terrible. Thankfully, they've since moved away and got rid of the pool table. I guess they'll never find out. Worst part about it is the sex was incredibly hot and periodically pops up in the spank bank. But then the rest of the night really ruins the memory. I suck at coming up with funny names, so I will leave the comedy to the professionals. Love y'all. And what do we think?
This sounds like an expensive sexual experience.
Yes, for someone, not her. Parents.
For her parents, yeah.
I can't believe they didn't notice.
I guess maybe it dried by the time they got home.
I mean,
I'm not an owner of a pool table, so I don't
know.
There
are legit companies that you can call to fix a pool table. So
that's what you would have done.
Yeah, anything I could have done for my parents not to find out.
How much is a pool table?
Not cheap.
Really?
I don't think. I mean, they are centerpieces of homes, like of basements and.
Right. I'm really learning a lot about the pool table.
The game?
Experience. Yeah. Maybe you got to stick to ping pong. It seems like a lower maintenance thing, no?
Ping pong's lower maintenance. You can get a table for like $300 at a Costco.
Okay.
And it ruins after a few years, but like.
So the pool table is a much higher end home. It's a fancier experience.
Oh, totally. Okay. It is like you make a room around it.
Okay.
You know, you need the room for it.
You're like, the pool table is half of my family's net wealth.
Yeah, that's we have
it. Tied up in this
table.
Yeah,
we have it in our safe inside of our mountain where we keep everything, like Richie Rich. It's one of those items that you lived in fear of ruining if you had one at your house.
Okay. This makes me not want to get a pool table ever.
I mean, this is the response most parents have.
How many times does anyone even play pool, really?
It was always like holidays, cousins, you know, like, or you have a dad that smokes a cigar and he's like into it. And like him and his buddies go down there. Like my dad was never that dad, but like
I see what you're saying.
It's truly like a waste of money now that I think about it.
It's a basement status symbol.
Totally.
Okay.
I think you're right. If I saw a pool table in a basement, I go, all right. Yeah,
there's money here.
Mm-hmm. Shit's going on. Things are good. Yeah. What do you call this one?
I like Maddie's ideas. She had Adult Swim and the Flooded Fuck, but I also liked the Billiard Bang.
Billiard Bang, like that. I had, what did I have? Pool Party.
Okay. I like that.
Waterlogged and the Sour Shower.
That's a good one.
Those are my...
Would you have sex on a pool table?
Yes, but not comfortably. I would always be thinking in the back of my head the whole time, if it was my parents' pool table.
But not damaging it. Okay.
My mom would be a part of the sexual experience, really something I don't need.
Right. I mean, when you just put it like that, I would say.
Who was on the table? Like all I can think about. Who was on the table? Her questions would be so. Who was on the table? Who? What? There's right. Marks here. What's going on?
Yeah, just go on the floor. I feel like probably easier. Although it takes, I mean, there is something kind of hot about the idea of having sex on a pool table.
The pool table is where a hookup starts, doesn't end.
Okay.
I would say.
There's no bodily fluids that should be getting on the pool table.
Yeah, you don't even want to like work around it. And plus the edges are,
right, they go in.
Yeah.
Elevated, yeah.
It's just not worth the mental hassle. But, like, the idea of, like, clearing off a table and then hooking up on it.
Moving the balls.
Yeah, you can.
Right, into the holes.
Yeah, you can have a similar experience without the dishes crashing on the ground.
I would like someone to write in with a sexual encounter where they've had sex on a pool table, and I'd like to hear about it.
All right. UUP@Betches.com. UUP at Betches, it's not a deal breaker for either of us.
No, it's an accident.
This happens.
I mean, unless it was my pool table and someone water damaged it while I was...
if it's my child, I'm breaking up the couple. It's Romeo and Juliet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night, go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
Today's red flag or deal breaker game is brought to you by High Noon Hard Seltzer. I'm a huge High Noon fan. I love that they're doing this show now.
I love High Noon. Such a great brand. I feel like they were the drink of the summer, and yes, they continue to be the drink of all parties. You should definitely bring it to the party we just, the brunch that we just discussed, where you should bring a friend, do the whole thing. High Noon's the perfect drink to have there.
High Noon, it's one of those that you're like, how is it this much better than the other hard seltzers? I don't, they figured it out, and it's, I'm just like.
I'll tell you how. It has real vodka.
Oh, really?
Yes. It is real vodka. The other hard seltzers are more of a malt beverage. Mm. This is real vodka and real ingredients. And that's, you know, that's what distinguishes it. That's what makes it just a little bit better than the competition.
I mean, if you take a High Noon, put it in a cup with a ton of ice.
Like, that's how you're living.
Yeah, listen, that's a Beach by Noon mentality.
Exactly.
Look at them. I'm writing script beach for these people.
Beach by High Noon.
Beach by High Noon. So everyone go get a High Noon, and they're bringing the games today. They got flavors like pineapple, black cherry, watermelon, grapefruit, peach, lime, mango, passion fruit. They got a High Noon for every occasion. Try High Noon the next time you're on a first date or just hanging out with your friends. Let's play some games. And let me also say, the black cherry.
Woo-wee. That's the best one.
That's the best one. That's totally the one that gets me every time. So, you ready?
I'm ready. Okay, first one. Hey, J&J, here's a red flag or deal breaker for you that I just experienced with a few different men on dating apps. I live in the Chicago area, but I feel like this could work for other big cities with big suburban surroundings. And I've had men put their location as in the city, even listing specific neighborhoods. Yet when it actually comes down to getting together, they drop the bomb that, oops, they actually live in BUFU, I don't know what that is, or suburb or town way out in the boonies away from the city. What gives? I'm trying to see the side of things that he may not have the same selection of ladies in the area, but isn't it a bad idea to be starting things out with a fib? What if I didn't have a car or direct public transportation? Thanks as always for the laughs and advice over the river and through the woods just to get a date.
It's funny. This could be seen as like an elitist thing. Yes. That's the way they play it.
This is just like only dating people who went to Yale.
The same exact thing. But on the other side of it, the person who's this person will go, oh, you're too good to date someone from, you know, right. We have to.
This is a logistical issue, though. I totally think it's not, even like, let's say it was more expensive to live out there. It would still be like, this is
no,
actually logistically difficult.
I agree. I mean, there are. Okay, so they say, what's the point of this? What gives? I'm trying to see the side of things. The side of things is you get your foot in the door, mm-hmm, and you go, hey, can I come in, please? Let me just explain for 2 seconds. And then you go, okay, and they become the love of your life. That's what gives.
It's like why someone would post a picture with their hairline from 3 years ago.
It's all, there's a reason for everything. Yes.
Once you get there, you might not care. Which you might not care.
Totally.
But it's funny, in the beginning of this episode, you were talking about like going to Long Island. Yeah. I'm not doing that anymore. Like, yeah, I could go there, but now you're like not interested.
They have to understand the hierarchy of the situation.
They have to come to you.
They come to me, I'm cool with it.
Right.
They never use it against me until we're like deep into this, mm-hmm, relationship. I'm okay with it. Oh, you live far out of town? And then they do the same thing. But I'm in the city all the time. I stay with a friend.
Well,
and they have to take the consequences that come with their actions. Like, oh, I stay with a friend. Okay, well, I would never feel comfortable making a date for someone where I felt I couldn't cancel on them in a normal fashion. There is, I will say, as someone who's in a major city, if someone did this to me, I would go, okay, I'm now, this is a new resume. I wouldn't regret the date, but I would say to them, how you getting home? What time is the train tonight?
It's like, kind of like, you. I think if you're the person who lives in the less desirable area and you're trying to pretend you live in the more desirable area, you just have to, it's on you to figure out how to get there.
I agree. But we're already like down the road on this one. Like, we're already giving them a chance. So you'd give them a chance?
If they don't make it my problem, then yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
like, if they're like, oh yeah, I'll come in. Like, I'm not expecting you to come out here. Like, I'm happy to come in. I think I would probably be fine with that. Although I do agree, especially in the beginning, it can be kind of weird in the sense of like, okay, yeah, I don't really want you to like stay over
But it puts like, a lot of more obligation on the other.
I have to feel like an asshole for like making you go all the way home.
Go all the way home or even come all the way in.
Right.
Like for a date, like everyone is kind of half excited for a date, like usually.
But you could be saying that about someone who lives in, you live in the Upper West Side, they live in the Lower East Side.
Like, totally agree. Still, but I'm saying like even in that scenario, I go, it's a cab and I'll pay for the fucking cab. You know, like I, if things,
would you pay for a cab to Westchester?
I mean, if need be, like you know, if it got to that where I'd be like, okay, if they're like, well, you made me miss the train, you know, I don't know.
Here's what I think: it's kind of like if you were in the middle, this might be the thing that pushes you off. If you were real, if I was really into them, I think I wouldn't care that much. If I were like, not sure, maybe it makes me lean towards the no.
See, I think we aren't addressing the issue because I'm hearing this person like in my head. The issue is the reveal on the date because I'm thinking like here's the only way I allow it to happen.
Okay.
We're having a great ping pong conversation over an app or we've been set up. And then all of a sudden they say, hey, I just want to get one thing straight. I live in New Jersey. And I...
Big reveal.
So I live in New Jersey and would you... I would love to go on a date, but I totally understand if this is something that like is just not within what you're looking to do. But I'm in the city on these three nights. I don't mind, you know, I don't really have a curfew on things. Right. I can get back to my place. I would love to do a thing on these three nights. I would go on that date.
Same. Yeah. I think it's about presentation.
Like it's all... Now let's change it. You're on the date. Great time. I don't understand how the date could be a great time because I'm putting myself in this scenario.
How could someone who lives on Long Island have a great time with me on a date?
I have no idea. I mean, with the LIRR just in the back of their
all
brain.
The issues.
Well, here's the issue. If you play out the date, hey, great to meet you, Jordana. Where are you coming from? Okay. Like, it is one of the first questions, what area do you live in?
Right.
So, it's a tough to come back from because it's not the 10th question on the date. Like, it's like, do you know what I mean? Like, if it was the 10th question on a date in normal hypothetical situation, I'd go, okay, we're already in deep and this has been great. We got a few drinks deep and we can kind of joke about it and figure it out. But it's always the first or second.
Right. It would taint your view of someone, I think.
The whole date would be about that.
Right.
I would not be able to get off the
top. I think if they presented it well and were like a little bit self-deprecating about it, I'd probably be okay.
Yeah. It would have to be, but it goes on your resume. Yeah.
And that I don't want to be asked to be coming out there.
No, I ain't doing.
Right.
No, but we have such good bars out there. No, you don't.
Right.
No, you don't.
That's not happening. No, you don't. Yeah, that would be the deal breaker.
Oh, no, the breweries don't care. The wineries don't give a shit.
If they're trying to sell it, that's where things
are. But I have a pool. I got a tub. I have a shower. Like, I don't know. We're by the beach. I don't know.
In the summer, maybe?
Summer.
The beach. I have a very expensive home in Westchester, maybe.
It's a mansion, 3-bedroom. I swear to God. Yeah. I don't know.
School systems are great. Okay. Let's do another one.
Okay. Met a cute guy. He has a super active Instagram account for his late dog. Okay. A memoriam account. This is for real.
How does he get 2,000? The dog is.
He has super active memoriam. The ghost of the dog haunts Instagram. Super active account for his late dog that has 2,000 followers. Still uses it to post daily TBTs of his late dog. Red flag or deal breaker?
I don't want to be insensitive to the dog community, but it would have to be a deal breaker for me. And it's really not even about the dog. Anyone that they, I think like sort of any sort of thing that they're like a little obsessive about with its own Instagram account that they're maintaining. That's like, it just wouldn't be a personality match for me.
Yeah. I like that you were like, I don't want to be insensitive to the dog community. And I just did a ghost dog voice about dog his community. Dead dog.
The dog community is scary.
They are scary.
You don't like dogs? Don't want to upset them.
No. Your dog stinks. It keeps jumping on me. You didn't train it enough. Yeah, it's not being able to let go.
Right. And I think that could be anything that DBT
consists of. Daily throwbacks.
Yeah. And that's like a lot of effort. You're maintaining this account.
Yeah. And it's like, how upset are you when you're posting? Like, is there a tearful moment every time?
Right. I just don't really see.
How long ago did the dog die? I think that plays an important part in this too.
Did she write?
She didn't write, but I think like if the dog.
What if it was.
What's the limit? A month?
What do you mean? Like they can only be posting every day for a month?
Yeah. Let's say they do the 30 days of Christmas with their dead dog.
Even every single day, maybe like once a week. I think the everyday part, no matter how long it's been, is sort of the limit for me. But like if it were, let's say the dog died a year ago and every month they post one picture. That's like where I.
That's a different thing. Yeah. I mean, I would be making fun of that person even if it was like a grandma.
Right.
Like I'd be like, I would have like nicknames for them. I mean, that would be the subject of many of my group chats. I hear what you're saying.
The thing about social media is like you can't be dating the person that you would be making fun of in a group chat for someone else.
Totally.
That's really like the bar of like, will my friends be talking about this in a chat that I am excluded from? Because you know that's possible.
Yeah, like I would be there
right.
if just I wasn't with the person.
Just thinking about how the fact that that's probably going on would really taint my experience dating them.
You ever had a friend get a divorce and then they like are accepted back into the group chat that was talking about their marriage?
Right, now we can add you back in because like the topics are less.
We're bah, not... bah, 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 bah. Welcome back.
It's my greatest fear, right?
Yeah, your ex was a piece of shit. Welcome back.
We're happy to have you back.
Yeah.
Okay. Final one.
Last one.
You don't go to bed at the same time. Example, staying at significant other's place for the weekend, second, third time, and you go to bed and they stay in the living room watching TV/reading for another hour plus while you fall asleep. My coworker had an ex-girlfriend reach out and say that that was one of the reasons she broke things off with him. He had no clue that was an issue. My current boyfriend and I always go to bed early because we also like to wake up early, but he always asks me if I'm ready to go to bed, not that we have a set bedtime. I also enjoyed waking up at the same time as him.
Women hate this.
Hate what?
Like a guy being like, good night, and hanging out, and I'm just going to watch the rest of the...
It's funny. I know it's irrational, but it bothers me too.
You're not alone.
I'll be like, do you want to go to bed? He's like, Mike will be like, the game's like...
Yeah.
I'm like, no, but we're going to go to... Let's go to bed. And then we get in bed. I'm like, we're not watching this.
Yeah. I have been in that scenario myself, and... Yeah, I mean, I can't understand it, but I can, like, you know what I mean? Like,
it feels a little comforting, I feel like, to just have, to go to bed next to someone. It just kind of, like, feels like a routine, part of your routine.
I get it. I get why people,
I do think it's irrational, though. Like, I do it, and I think it's irrational.
It's like sitting next to each other on the plane.
I mean,
it's the same thing to me. I mean,
we've discussed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a few... It's kind of like when you first start dating, I could see it being more of a thing. Mm. Like if it's the third time you're with someone at their apartment and then they're like.
Different story.
Right. If a guy came over and I was like, all right, let's go in the bed. And he was like, I'm going to stay out here.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm going to finish weird. The
right,
wine.
Yeah.
By yourself.
But even now I still feel a little weird about it. Like it's fine. Like it happens and like, I'm okay with it. Cause I sound like a lunatic, but I prefer to go together.
But I totally hear you, and I understand it. It is, it's funny to me now, like I like going to bed without like I listen to talk radio to go to bed.
Really?
I listen to podcasts.
You have headphones on when you go to bed?
No, I just have like.
So when you had a girlfriend, that was okay?
So then you have to kind of stop it a little bit.
Right.
And now I'm giving up the way I sleep for the relationship, which I was okay with.
Mm-hmm.
And then like there would be nights where you can't get to bed and you go, and then I would turn on
podcast.
You,
right. That's how you wind up. I mean, to bring this conversation full circle from the beginning, that's how you wind up as the old divorce dad. When you're in those routines. Can I tell you? Okay. My dad.
It's like you're haunting me.
My dad has a one bedroom apartment. I hadn't stayed in his apartment in 20 years.
Mm.
He had a hip replacement. So okay. I told him I would stay over to to my dad is the quintessential divorced dad.
Yes.
I told him I would stay over, you know, in case he needed me, but my other sisters couldn't do it. So I
like
how
at the beginning you were like, what do you mean? Yeah. It's like I'm describing him.
Describing my dad to a T, but my dad has never been happier.
Sure.
He loves the divorced dad life. He's, you know, he does his own thing. No one makes him do it. So anyway, it's 3 a.m. I'm visiting him. It's 3 a.m. All of a sudden I hear fucking like bagpipes coming out of his room. I'm like, and I'm also sleeping on his like disgusting couch that is like divorced dad, like from his mother, from like her store from the 1970s.
Oh my God, I gotta date somebody.
There's dust in my eyes from this couch. Like I'm literally, and I finally managed to go to sleep. I finally fall asleep.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I hear these bagpipes at 3 a.m. And so I like get up really pissed off and my dad has a hip replacement. So he's like, not, I open the door and I'm like, and he's like, oh, like, can I make you some coffee or something? I go, it's 3 a.m. What are you talking about? What are you talking? Can you turn this down? Like, there's someone here. He's like, you know, he's been in divorced dad mode for so long that he just has no idea that anyone else, that like anyone with, like, what? There's anyone else in his apartment.
What was he listening to?
Fucking like Israeli radio or some bullshit. I don't know. Like, I've never been more angry. I was like, and this is why mom divorced you.
Oh my God.
And anyway, to bring that back to this thing, it's like if you listen to your podcast for too long on your own time,
you become my podcast. Let's not make this.
You become to a podcast, a talk show.
You know,
when
I go to bed, I listen to my own voice, anyway, my own Hinge voice prompts.
That's how you become my dad. to bring the conversation full around. And I like, I felt bad, but I had to yell at him. I was like, there's someone else here. It's 3 a.m. You need to get your apartment cleaned. And
and I got a list of things. Right. Yeah, yeah. And another thing. The couch is dusty. Yeah.
Seriously.
I mean, what is a... I guess this feels very male. What is like a... like, I think this happens as you get older. Like, you get used to your kind of idiosyncrasies, did I say?
Is that what it is?
I should never go for a big word ever again in my entire life.
Your habits and routines.
Your habits and routines, yeah. You like stick, like my habit, my routine is like,
ladies, yeah. This is why you should have settled down in college.
Now you got to deal with this. You get used to like these things, habits and routines, and it's like, what are the female versions? Like my habit, my routine is like I would say like, probably being a little messy.
Right.
I would probably say like, I need it. Like I listen to a podcast to get to bed. I stay up and I TV on. Like, is there a female version? I mean, I know there's some women that listen to podcasts to go to bed.
I used to watch listen TV. To like sleep meditation stuff to go to bed. I don't really do that anymore, but I would say the female annoying things is we have to go to bed together.
Yeah.
I'm very particular about temperature.
Cold or hot?
Cold. I like it very cold. Yeah.
I'm on that side too. But listen,
anyway, I guess it would be a deal breaker if it was the first three times, but once we got into a space, I think I'd be fine.
Yeah, there needs to be a discussion. And if someone was like, you got to get into bed. I mean, that was fine with me when I was in that. That wasn't like my issue, you know, like I wasn't like, I don't go to bed. And I think it's more important to like be okay with like, are you a TV on couple? Are you I think those things get a little bit harder because it's like, if someone can fall asleep and I can just like have the TV on with me with headphones or something and that's okay. You know, like you can work those things out, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Mike used to be a TV on person and now, now he learned that he's not.
Well, the marriage is going well.
Just to be.
They're 3 weeks in and it's going great.
Yeah. He's a whole new person. He didn't even know that he was.
That's it for Red Flag or Deal Breaker, brought to you by High Noon Hard Seltzer. Listen, real vodka, real juice, 100 calories, gluten-free, no sugar added. The motto of this show is to have fun while looking as good as possible, and I think High Noon is really the answer to that quandary. Big word.
Look at us.
Look at us.
We're elevated in this podcast studio.
Listen, this has been so great. Like, we went so long, I think, because of the studio. Because
it feels like a natural conversation in person.
Yes.
Yeah. I love it.
We solved dating again, Jordana.
We did it. I'm proud of us. And you can find where to purchase High Noon by visiting highnoonspirits.com. We will see you on our Sunday special. Bye.
You Up is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Maddie Paul. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at You Up Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And send us your emails to youup@betches.com. Betches.